No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 9th day of January, 2020. I'm David Brown coming in today and sitting in traffic, something that is endemic to Texas's big cities in 2020. Three thoughts came to mind. Number one, maybe California really is the future of the U.S. if the de facto parking lot known as rush hour in Texas is any indication. Number two, forget about flying cars. Why hasn't Texas embraced telecommuting more than it has? Which led to number three, the good and the bad that the digital age hath wrought. On the good side, I can get my news instantly. On the not-so-good side, I can get reaction to that news instantly. Although it is probably true that the assassination of an Iranian general with American blood on his hands is no less primitive when committed by drone, it is almost equally true that the popular rush to conclude we are at the brink of World War III is not exactly in the spirit of the Enlightenment. The danger, of course, is that our most popular search terms become a proxy for collective thought, and it's hard to believe this doesn't have political implications for a people fixated on the next military boot to drop. Is diplomacy a write-off in this case? We'll explore a bit later in our broadcast. First up, another byproduct of instant information gratification, the disproportionate number of Texas towns on those viral best cities lists. What can Texas cities do to deal with explosive growth? The addition of 1,000 newcomers per day. What follows is a tale of two cities with two radically different approaches to development. Mike Morris reports on Houston City Hall for the Houston Chronicle. Mike, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And Audrey McGlinchey is City Hall reporter for our sister station here in the Texas Capital City, KUT 90.5. Audrey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's begin with you, Audrey. City of Austin trying to adopt a new land development code. This would be the first time since what, the 1980s or something?
Yeah, I believe it was 1984, actually, when we last adopted a new land development code.
That's sort of the rub, right? I mean, there has been so much growth since then. What are the main issues surrounding the old code versus what's being proposed?
Right. So one of the big issues that a lot of people talk about with the old code is that we kind of layered a lot of code on top of one another. Mm-hmm. And so when a builder or a landowner goes to make changes or build something new on their land, it becomes really complicated and really expensive to do so. And the more expensive we make it to build in the city, the least likely we are to build. And the things we do build will be more expensive to rent or buy.
Mike, I want to bring you in here because I think a lot of folks are still laboring, certainly nationwide. A lot of folks, Mike, think that Houston is the city without any zoning, right? I mean, that's the myth. It's not so much that you don't have any zoning, but I gather you have never really had a land development code per se there. Is that right?
Well, yeah, we don't have zoning. We don't have a land use, land development code in the same way that zoned cities do. The city cannot restrict land for residential, commercial, industrial, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's important to note that most of the growth and the recent boom and almost all of the growth in recent years has been outside the city limits anyway, in what people view as Houston, but is really unincorporated Harris County, where, to my knowledge, counties aren't even able to adopt zoning in the first place.
All right. So what exactly are the issues there in Houston? Does it, what Audrey was describing, did any of that sound familiar to you?
Sure. I think that developers here would probably view those complaints as familiar. Houston does have, Houston and Harris County have rules on developing, and they are often layered. If you're building a single-family development, you have to look at a code that governs density, and you have to look at a code that governs green space. And, you know, if you're building a commercial business, there are parking codes and all sorts of other things that are overlapping. There's not really a push to change anything all at once because, you know, I think it's five times since the Second World War that voters have rejected zoning here. People seem to have made their peace with our free-for-all.
So what does that mean when it comes to what happens next for Houston? I mean, is there a completely different approach, or is the city looking at trying to rein things in?
In the 10 years I've covered local government in this region, I've never heard of a credible push to try again on a zoning referendum. Now, what I don't think Houstonians or Houston public officials have really grappled with is that in the past, this free-for-all in some ways led development to create more affordable housing in some areas because costs were lower and there were fewer restrictions and people weren't all restricted to build certain types of housing in desirable areas. but our affordability is going away. And I don't think city leaders would claim to have gotten their arms around that.
Well, you know, Audrey, we're nowhere, I say we, the city of Austin is nowhere nearly as dense as Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that Austin city leaders think that they can come up with a plan that will, you know, make things better here? Do we really need greater density in a city that doesn't have an infrastructure to support it?
I think the issue and a lot of the issues that people have taken with the current code or the current way that we build is that we've restricted ourselves to really only building either single family homes. That's one home on a piece of land where one family can live, or big apartment buildings. People have probably seen a lot of those going up in the past couple of years. And so a lot of people have argued there's a way that we can add maybe less intensive density, things like townhomes or duplexes, which is really hard to build under the new code. And by that, we can accommodate, we can, you know, allow all the people that are moving here to find a place to live and not, you know, jack up prices, while also hopefully kind of maintaining the look of Austin that many people have said they enjoy, the look of certain neighborhoods, for example.
Well, who does this accommodate, though? Does it accommodate people who are already in Austin, or does it accommodate people who might be coming to Austin? Furthermore, what you were saying about how you have sort of a mishmash, a checkerboard of different rules and regulations. It seems like this is streamlining things for developers, but what about for people who have made an investment in their property, who have bought into a community? I was looking at the zoning map, and it seems like if you've got a lot of money, you're not going to have your property and your zoning tweaked all that much.
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked, well, aren't we just accommodating the people that are moving here? Sure. But we also can't stop people from moving to Austin. There's really no way the city can do that. And other people have argued that we're also accommodating the people who are already here. If there is some evidence that if we allow for more housing to be built, it's a supply and demand argument, that we could potentially lower or at the very least stabilize prices here. And then there's also the question as people age, as their family status changes, that people desire different types of houses that they want to live in. You know, if you're raising a couple of kids and then those kids go off and living their own lives, perhaps you want something smaller. And so should we build different types of housing for different phases of people's lives? And right now we don't really have that. So, yeah, I think it's a big question of, again, who are we doing this for? But what's happening right now is not great. Prices are going up exponentially. And so people say we can't keep doing what we're doing. We have to do something different. And this is what they've come up with.
I understand that the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas has said that Houston's gentrifying faster than other Texas cities. We looking at greater affordability and gentrification concerns there as a result of the approach that Houston has taken, do you think, Mike?
I don't know how much to attribute to the approach that has been taken. I think there's sort of this conventional wisdom that the laissez-faire approach has held prices down for longer.
Mm-hmm.
Setting aside whether that's true or not, I think you get enough growth, as we've seen, in the region and in the city, and prices are inevitably going to rise. And, you know, we've seen that pressure over time, kind of just a slow march. Fourth Ward, just west of downtown, Freedman's Town, a historic area founded by freed slaves. Those areas are essentially erased. And sort of next on the list are Second Ward, Third Ward, Fifth Ward. All of these areas near downtown are under increasing gentrification pressure. I mean, we're also seeing some data that the old adage of drive until you qualify, that means, you know, you have X income, you can afford X amount in a mortgage.
Yeah.
If you can't get it close to downtown, drive half an hour away, 45 minutes away, an hour away until you can qualify and get into a house that you want. That is not, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of people trumpeting the wisdom of that sort of development strategy.
Oh, I wonder if there's a consensus that the status quo is insufficient. I mean, for instance, what I hear from you just then, Mike, is that, yeah, people are still doing the same old thing. I mean, they're going out, they're driving further. And as you understand it, people don't believe that they've reached that sort of maximum limit yet, and Houston continues to grow.
Well, I think it's two things. I mean, I think that developers will continue to build a product that sells, and the suburbs are continuing to sell. I think we see that in the numbers. I think that closer into the urban core, there are a lot of families, there are a lot of politicians who are not satisfied with the status quo and want more affordable options closer in.
Growing pains, I suppose the way we should file this one. That's Mike Morris, City Hall reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Also, Audrey McGlinchey, City Hall reporter with our home station, KUT 90.5. Audrey, Mike, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.